Good morning. This is Pastor Hank. I want to welcome you to Central Christian Center. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Honored first-time attenders and cherished members, we are so glad that you're here. Whatever you need, I believe God's already provided it for you, and it's our desire today to help you receive from Him. Let's just enjoy the presence of God and receive what God has for us today. I'm going to read you a verse here and a few verses out of Matthew. But before I do, I got to tell you about an exciting opportunity, something that happened. How many here saw the broadcast where Carolyn from Life Choices and I sit down and we interviewed and talked about touching people's lives and stuff? And anyway, I just felt like that was for more than just those two services on that Sunday. And so I prayed and asked God what to do and asked Him to open doors. And he opened some doors with us with KOM and Fox, Channel 14. And they gave us 11 programs between the first one was on last night. They're like between 12 o'clock and 5 o'clock in the morning. And the time when all the folks that we need to reach with those messages might accidentally turn on TV. They might think it's an accident, but it's not. So anyway, we have 11 programs between last night and April the 2nd on Fox and on Channel 7 where we're able to do that. If we save one baby's life, it's worth it. So anyway, that's what we're doing, and God's opening up some doors. And if any of you would like to be in on that blessing and would like to give some of that, I would appreciate it. And I want everybody to be praying. How many would be praying that if God gave us all these strange times, don't you think He already has somebody lined up to watch it? So anyway, help me with that if you'd like to, and pray. Let's pray. Let's believe God. He's opening some doors. But I'm telling you what, I liked what Greg said. As for us, we're serving the Lord. Anyway, if we don't have enough, I'll make up the difference. If we have more, we'll use it. Doug and I are gonna do a program or two that we put on where we're trying to reach some of these people that are doing meth at 2 or 3 in the morning and these people coming out of the clubs and they need Jesus. And they're probably not going to turn the broadcast on at 8 o'clock on Sunday morning. You got my message? But we're going to go out into their world and tell them about Jesus. So I appreciate you. And that's okay. It's good, and it's gonna get gooder. Okay, huh? If Trump can use those words that are made up, then I can too. How about that? I've been reading some verses. I'm gonna read them again to you this morning out of Matthew chapter 12. Starting with verse 33, it says, "Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for a tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers, or offspring of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things?" Now, I say this every time, but He's not calling you a viper. He's not calling me a viper. I don't want us to read this scripture like He's mad at us and He's being mean to us, because He isn't. He's talking to people that have attributed everything God was trying to do to the devil, and he's a little bothered by it. But the heart of God for you and for me is that He loves us. And if you read in Isaiah chapter 54, it says, just like the rain comes down and just like the rainbow that He promised that He would never flood the earth again, He said, I promise you I'll never be angry with you again. I'll never be mad again. I'll never... See, God loves you. And so That's how we need to read. But in this portion of Scripture is a formula or a law, if you will. But he says, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. For a good man out of the good treasures of his heart brings forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasures brings forth evil things. But I say to you, for every idle word men speak, they will give account in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned. Holy Spirit, use me this morning, and I'll give you all the credit and all the praise. Thank you. I want to talk about these scriptures a little bit, but before that, I was reading about military pilot school. Not that I was going to go and join, but I was reading about that flight school, training school, and I just saw some. It was kind of interesting. As I was reading, I found out that they, before they're able to fly a plane, they spend a whole lot of time in ground school. And in this ground school, they have to learn the basic laws of flight. They matter of fact, they study it, and they think about it, and they read it until it becomes embedded, ingrained in their thinking. Till it becomes a part of them. They learn the basic laws of flight, the laws of gravity and lift, the laws of thrust and drag, and they just go over and over and over these things until they're a part of them, and they learn how these laws work together. And before the instructors will let them go up in a plane, They have learned all these principles, but they have to have faith in all these principles. They have to believe that these principles really work. They sit and they watch planes leave and take off. They watch hundreds of planes leaving and then landing. And all this time they're ingraining, they're meditating, they're putting this law, these laws in them, till these laws become a part of them. And they have to have faith that these laws will work, but it even goes further than that, because they have to have faith that the laws will work for them when they're flying in the plane. And then they have to guard that fear doesn't come in. How many know if you were landing a big jet fighter, you wouldn't want to be afraid right as you were trying to land the thing? And so they have to guard their heart and they have to guard their mind. And if that fear is in there, they don't ever make it past ground school. The laws of flight. I got to thinking about that, and I got to meditating on that a little bit, and I got to comparing that with the laws of God. You know, he has certain laws that are in effect, and these laws work no matter what. The law of faith, part of that law of faith is the law of confession, and that's what I kind of want to talk about today, just for a few minutes here, is the law of confession, the words that you speak, and faith in those words, and trust in those words, and the power that's in those words. Joshua 1:8, real quick. We're all familiar with it, but it says he's talked here, told him be strong, and he's told him I'm going to give you the land that Moses. But in verse, I'm going to put 8 up, but I'm going to go ahead and do 7. It says only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn to the left or to the right, that you may prosper wherever you go, or be successful. So it'll work for you. Just means to have success and act wisely. And it says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate. I used to think that meant you don't talk, But that isn't what that means. It means don't stop saying it. Don't stop saying it. This book of the law will not stop coming out of your mouth, but you'll meditate in it day and night. You'll observe to do according to all that's written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Now, how does this apply to us? We're not supposed to memorize all the laws. I forgot how many there are. There's a whole bunch of them. I'm reading through the Old Testament now, and there's a bunch of them. But how does that apply to us? We're not supposed to memorize all the thou shalt nots and all the laws, but what we are to do is we are to find the promises in the book, the promises in His Word that He spoke to us, the laws, the things that He said this is how it will be. And we're to meditate on those things, and we're to get that into our heart until it's part of us, until it's ingrained in us. We're to study the promises, the goodness of God. Study the faith part of this. Study this until it becomes ingrained in us, until we really believe that it's the truth. And we don't most time have any trouble believing it's the truth, but we have to believe that it's the truth for us. See, I can believe God wants to heal you, but I have to believe Him to heal me. I can believe He wants you to walk in divine health, but I have to believe that for me. I can believe He wants to prosper you, but I have to believe that for me. I can believe God can do anything, but what I have to believe is He'll do anything for me. Okay? For me. And so I have to not doubt that it'll work for me, these promises, this book. I have to not doubt that. And then I have to guard against fear, because you'll never take a faith stand without fear coming there. Worry, fear, indecision, self-consciousness. I have to guard against that, because that'll stop my faith from working. Is this making any sense to you? So I compare then what I was reading about the ground school and flight training to the kingdom of God and the laws that govern the kingdom of God. And we'll probably go through a few of these for a few weeks, but I want to talk today mainly about the law of confession, the law, the power in what you say. God set this thing up, the earth, us, how He wanted it to be. He set this thing up so that it would be basically ruled by the law of confession. So it would be basically ruled by the law of words. What did God do? God said, "Let there be light." And the Bible says, "And there was." "Let there be a firmament in the middle of the waters." And there was. Let the night be divided from the darkness. And it was. You understand? And He spoke, and it happened. He spoke, and it was. And so then God said, and when he did all that, when He created all the earth, He said, it's good. It's good. But then He said, "Let us." I think that's interesting, because that's the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. They all are one. They're all together. And He said, "Let us make man in our image." In other words, now I've shown what my words can do. Now let's make somebody else that can do the same thing. Now I know everybody won't get this, but you can. Okay? You can. Everybody say, "I can." So we know then that the enemy came. I mean, Adam had the ability to create with his words. He named animals. I think that looks like a giraffe. Okay, God said, we'll call that a giraffe. I think that, I mean, wouldn't it be weird if he called my little chitsu a giraffe and called called a giraffe a chitsu? I mean, you know, that wouldn't make sense, would it? But anyway, Adam spoke. And it happened. And then we find out that that's how the enemy got what God gave Adam, was with words. He spoke words. He shot thoughts to Eve and her to Adam. And he spoke words. And then they spoke words with their mouth. And they gave the authority that God gave them. They gave it over to the enemy. You want to know why you've been having so much trouble? Why we've been having so much trouble for all these thousands of years is because man gave up the authority God gave him. Okay, now that's important that you think about that. And you don't get this the first time or the 30th time you hear it, but somewhere down the line it starts to dawn on you. Jesus, who was the living Word, he came back and reestablished God's kingdom. And so now we are and can and are supposed to begin to operate in this earth like Adam operated. Well, that's pretty heavy. Jesus gave us a demonstration while he was here. He spoke and he did it. He spoke words and it happened. He spoke to things and to storms and they quieted. He spoke to mountains and they crumbled. He spoke to trees and they dried up from the root. And then he's getting ready to leave and he said, all the things that I do, said, they're not what I do, but all the things that I speak, it's not me, but it's the Father in me that does the work. And then he goes right on in the next breath and says, and you will be able to do that too. But you won't be limited to just doing that. You'll be able to do more because I'm going to send the very Spirit of God to live inside of you. Now, that's big, isn't it? You can't get all this with a human intellect. Okay? But I'm believing the Holy Spirit will help you get this. And so he demonstrated the power of confession, the law of confession. And I believe these verses establish part of how that law works in us. You see, he teaches us that this law of confession works for everybody. Whatever is in your heart in abundance will come out of your mouth. How many know that works if you're evil or that works if you're good? How many of you are good, but sometimes the evil comes out? And we're not going to go back and regroup all that. I'd like you to get the CDs from the last few weeks if you would, but you know, that's how we gear things in us that the Holy Spirit wants to speak, is what we say, because we know what we say is what's coming out of our heart. So the law of confession, that's the way it works. Whatever's in the abundance of your heart, you begin to speak with your mouth. That's how God designed it. That's what happened with the children of Israel in Numbers 13, and we know the story. I talked about it a few weeks ago a little bit, but he sends 12 spies, one person from every tribe, into the promised land. His purpose was to send them in to look at the land and see that what God told them was the truth, so that they would come back and say the same things that God had told them. And then all the people would say, yes, let's go in and possess it. We know the story. When they came back, they brought back physical proof of exactly what God said. He told them, it's a land of milk and honey. You go in there and you bring some of the spoils back. And I'm telling you what, they cut off one little clump of grapes and it was so big it took two of them to carry it. And they brought back fruit, and they brought back spoils from the land to show the people, and it was exactly what God said it would be. And they also brought back eyewitness reports about the people that God said would be there. He said it was all the ites. It was the Amalekites, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites, the Canaanites. Boy, there was a lot of ites. And so they came back and they actually confessed part of what God said. Because they said, all those guys are in there. But because of fear in their heart, they didn't, the fear overtook them, and the most important thing that God said, they didn't come back and confess that. See, what God had said in Leviticus 20, God said this, he said, but I have said to you, you will inherit their land. Yes, all those people are there, but this land is yours. I'm giving it to you. You will inherit their land, and I will give it to you, and you will possess it, because I'm the Lord your God, which has separated you from other people. What he says here is, he says, you will inherit it. It belongs to you. I'll make sure you get it. I have set you apart. I have set you. I have distinguished you from anybody else, because they're going to look at you and know that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that God is blessing you, and that you walk in His abundance. Okay, but see, God had promised them that, but they didn't have faith in what God said. They didn't have faith in the promises of God. They didn't believe God. And not only did they fail to confess it, but they confessed the exact opposite. Giants over there. It's too big for us. I know by His stripes I was healed, but you just don't know. This is a mass. This is a cancer. I know God healed me and I'm to walk in divine health, but you don't know what the doctor said. Oh, I'm sorry. They said, but there's giants in the land. Well, I know He said He'd meet my needs according to His riches and glory, but you just don't know how bad the economy is. You just don't know how bad we need to elect so-and-so or so-and-so or so-and-so. Oh, but there's giants in the land. The cities have great big walls around them, fortresses around them. There's no way we can take them. And this is the sad thing, because of what they came back and said, the whole generation wasn't able to go into the promised land. Now, can I just say something right here? What you say doesn't just affect you. It affects everybody around you. It'll affect your family, your kids, your neighbors, your friends, the people you work with. Everything you say is going to affect somebody. I wasn't going to tell this, but I'll do it real quick. I remember when I had my church in Arkansas, and one of the founding families there, and they had two or three little kids, and this young little boy was about, I don't know, seemed like he was about 9 or 10 years old, and I looked at that little boy, and I told him, I said, God's got a call on your life, and just told him, God's going to use you in some big ways, and you could just see it all over this kid. And I mean, when I would tell him that stuff, his eyes would light up. They'd get that sparkle in there, and he just knew. And I just thought, my goodness, this might be a Billy Graham. This kid has the potential. This kid has the gift of God in him. This might be. It wasn't very long, a few years into it, that family got mad at me, and they started, not to my face, but around the dinner table and around the house, and they started running me down and saying that I was this or I was that. And here this child, that this sparkle in his eye, this gleam in his eye, that he knew, man, he was convinced that God could use him for anything. And he just watched every move I made. And I was kind of like a hero to him. I mean, I was a hero figure to him. And they began to cut me down and they began to say all this stuff. And then after a while, they quit the church. Oh, they went here and they went there, but they never stopped anywhere long enough where anything could be expected of them. Anyway, I'll just get through that real quick there, but the end of that story is the last time I talked with somebody from there, and this kid's like, and he's around 50 now, he's been in and out of drug rehabs. He's tried to kill himself. He's tried to, you know, he's a grown man around 50, and he's a total mess. Why? Well, because he didn't fit in. He didn't live in the call that God had for him, the place that God had for him. Why didn't he live there? Because of some words. Some words. And I didn't say that really. I just used me in the illustration there, not for any ulterior motives or anything like that, but just because I want you to understand the things that you say. And if nobody else hears it, your children do hear it. But everything you say affects somebody. Somebody. These 10 voices said, "We can't do it." But now there were two voices there. There were two people there that had developed their heart. They had developed their heart into a place. Now you understand, when I'm talking about a heart, I'm not talking about that organ that pumps your blood. I'm talking about that innermost part of you, your spirit, the core of you. They had confessed and they had believed and they knew that God was able to do it. And not only was He able, but that He would for them, and they could possess the land. And you know, 40 years later, you know the story. When it came time, those are the two that went in. The other 10 were dead. But the sad thing is, all the ones that listened to them were dead also. I'm just trying to say that our words make a difference. And it's not just saying good things. It's not just saying the right things. Oh, how many know that we'd be way down the line if we could accomplish that in our lives? But when I talk about the law of confession, I'm talking about saying the same thing God says. Huh? I'm talking about agreeing with what God says. Because what God says will work every time. Let me just real quick here. Isaiah. Where's Isaiah? Is that in the Old Testament? Isaiah 55. He says here that just like it rains and causes things to grow and all that and gives bread to the prince and seed to the sower. But anyway, he says, so shall my words be that go forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me. What shall not return to me? His word. He said it won't return to me void or unfruitful or without fruit. He says, but it will accomplish what I please, and it will prosper in the things that I've sent it to do. Well, now that's an interesting phrase, because an interesting portion of Scripture, because what does that mean? Well, it means that when God's word comes back to him, he sees to it that it works. He sees to it that it produces. Well, how does it come back to you? I speak His word back. Read through the Psalms and read David. Nobody probably went through any more battles than him and had any more conflicts than him and had any more enemies than he had. And probably nobody had any more people trying to kill him than David had. And even when he starts out talking about how the enemy's after him and all this is happening, he always comes back and speaks God's word. But you, God. But you are excellent. But you, God, are all powerful. And you can read through with that little formula in your mind, or that little layout in your mind, and you'll see it. Because he goes to God with his need, but then he begins to speak the answer. Then he begins to speak the word of God back to him. Oh, but you, God, you're well able. Oh, but you, God, you'll cause this enemy to fall before me. Oh, but you, God. Oh, yes, God. I have, the doctors say I have cancer, and there's a mass in there, and there's a problem in there. But you, God, are able to turn it. But you, God. And we have testimonies just this week of no cancer. Just this week. You see, it's not mind over matter. I'm not talking about ignore it and act like it's not there. I'm saying no. I'm talking about speaking the truth over it. Speaking the truth. It's a fact that maybe the doctors have told you something. That's a fact. But the truth always overrides a fact. And the truth is, by His stripes, you've been healed. Yes, the times are difficult and times are hard and I won't ask for hands, but there's not any of us that sometimes doesn't have enough money. But my God supplies all my needs according to His riches and glory. And can I tell you something? He's got quite a few of them in glory. It's dawned on me more and more as I'm studying this, and I'll just tell you, I'm not trying to be act some spiritual way or say some magic formula. I'm trying to go somewhere with God, and when I see something, I'm just going to share it. I'm just going to say it. And probably by the time I say it, I don't even really have it all yet. But we're on a journey and we're moving forward. Matter of fact, you start turning on, you'll see in the next few weeks, you turn on and see how many preachers, how many ministers on TV are starting to talk about the words. See, when the Holy Spirit does something, that's the time we need to pay attention. That's the time we need to hear it, when He takes us and deals with an area. Whatever is in your heart in abundance. See, your words can change things. The law of confession works. Just like the law of flight will work, and it'll take you higher and higher. The law of confession, your words will take you higher and higher. They'll keep you moving forward. When all the circumstances of life try to make you crash land and try to put the drag on you and try to slow you down and pull you down, no, faith in God and what He said will just keep taking you higher and higher. See, your words are the power that can change your life. Your words are the things. Your words are containers. Okay? I don't remember who I heard say that, but I liked it. It stuck with me. Your words are containers, and they carry your dreams. They carry your hopes. They carry and they create the things. In the seen world, they pull them out of the unseen world. Your words. Your words. I love Philemon, however you say that. 1:6 says that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Do you understand? How do you share your faith? How do you speak that? How do you put that into action? You begin to speak it. You begin to speak it. Now you notice we're not on the problem so much now as we're on the answer. I mean, we're not on the slapping you No, we're on the dangling the carrot, what can be, because God says, hey, look to me, put your hope in me. And see, I can do anything that he puts a dream inside of me to do. I can do anything that he speaks. And it's all I can do to keep from speaking some of the things I've seen just in the last few days. But I'm speaking them to him. I'm not going to speak them yet to you, but you're going to see them. And you're going to see them in your life. You see, it's when I believe that those words I speak, when I believe that the words I speak, the words of God that I speak, when I believe they work, and that they work for me. See, law of confessing, saying the same thing God says. See, some of you are saying, oh, I'm not much. I'm not. Hold it. That isn't what God says about you. God says you're his righteousness. God says you are so valuable to him that he gave his son for you. God says that in all your bad, he came down and was good so you could make the swap. He said in all your nothingness, he would be everything because all things are possible through Christ Jesus. Well, containers. We're designed to live this life in the flesh with spiritual laws. You know, what did Jesus say? He said, Father, how great is your name? But let your kingdom come and let your will be done. In other words, Father, bring your kingdom into this world. Bring your kingdom into this flesh and blood. Bring your kingdom into this mess. Bring your kingdom in and let us begin to speak your will. And let us begin to speak your things. You see, we're designed, folks, to make a difference. Now, I know people, if you think religiously, this doesn't make any sense. But you know what? Jesus didn't really mess with religious thinking. He spoke what God said. And when he ran out of something to say, he'd go to the desert place or he'd go to the mountain and he'd spend all night with God and he'd talk to him and he'd listen to him and he'd get some more. And by the time the sun came up, it's time to go to work now. You never caught Jesus around 9, 10 o'clock in the morning laying around and going, well, God, what do you want to do today? See, I'm just saying that from your heart comes, from your innermost being comes. One verse called it the rivers of living water flowing out of you. The words flowing out of your heart. The words can change things. And if you'll check your life right now, is a result of words. It's a product of words. Most of the words are words that you've spoken. But they're undergirded with words from a parent or from a teacher or from somebody you looked up to. And then, you know, I don't know how many teachers ever told me, you're never going to amount to nothing. And I believed them for a long time. And if I'm not careful, I still believe them now. And you know, I can't remember very many people that told me good things, but boy, the one old crooked-nosed person that told me something bad back in the second grade, that's just like a neon sign in there. Those voices Greg was talking about. Here's the thing, though. It doesn't matter what has been spoken into your life, what's been spoken over you. It doesn't make any difference because God's word and the law of confession, it has power in speaking his word and it can override anything that's in your life. He's been given a name above every name, and at that name, every knee will confess, and I'll just say it right now, every cancer cell in this place, you're cursed in Jesus' name, you die. Every diabetes, I curse you in Jesus' name. Every mass, every tumor, I know a name that's above your name, and that name's Jesus, and I just speak it, and I speak, you spirits of infirmity, you leave God's people and leave them alone. We're designed to walk in divine health. We're not supposed to be having to go every other week and begging for healing. We're supposed to walk in divine health. That's what I'm going to speak. Huh? That's what I'm going to speak. Ran into somebody the other day that I graduated with, and we were talking, and we were talking about, and he said, yeah, I turn 60-something in next month, and you know, and I just, before I even thought, I just looked at it, I said, you know what, I'm getting younger. So that's silly, Hank, I know. But then he started looking at me and saying, well, you look good. And I said, hey, I feel good. Well, what's coming out of your mouth? Yep. See, you can change it. And everybody says, well, this sure sounds awful, and I'll just cut it off here. But Proverbs 18 says, death and life are in the power of your tongue. Yep. Huh? James says, out of the same mouth comes blessings or cursings, and it shouldn't be that way. What's going to come out of your mouth? I don't know about you, but blessings are going to come out of my mouth. Amen. And I don't know about you, but I saw another jerk yesterday. He was in the car in front of me. He didn't go when the light changed. And Pam just shakes her head when I do that. And I just, but now, as soon as I say, oops, here's the jerk. Slow down. You're not in that big a hurry. You're going to say something bad about that person up there just because you're irritated, just because you're a little, nope, not going to do that. Huh? See, I didn't say you won't do it, but I just said you can start paying attention. Because, you know, you can start thinking about something, and you can start thinking about sickness, and you can start thinking about somebody dying, and you can start thinking about this, and you can just keep thinking about it, and then pretty soon you're talking about it, and then pretty soon everything, and then pretty soon it's, whoa, poor me, pretty soon it's, you know, and this thing just grows and grows and grows and grows. So what I'm learning is when I wake up in the morning, and you know, I mean, he'll come to you in your dreams. If you've had a problem with self-image, or you've had a problem with self-worth, or you've had a problem with fear, he'll cause you to dream something in the night to cause you to fear. And you'll wake up and won't even know why you're feeling all this in there. And if you're not careful, you'll just follow that mood. You'll follow that feeling. And before the day's over, you'll live it out and you'll speak it out. But what I'm learning to do is say, hold it. I don't know where that came from, but I'm going to send it right back to hell where you are, because I'm not going to have it in my life. I'm not going to be irritated today. I'm not going to be mad today. I'm not going to be sick today. I'm not going to do it. You say, well, Hank, that's awful silly. I know, but isn't it silly to be talking against God? Talking about how bad you are, talking about how unrighteous you are, talking about how sick you are, talking about how poor you are. God looks over at Jesus and nudges him and says, Who are they talking about? Not talking about my kids. Because I do good things for my kids. I created them in my image. I created them so they could walk in all my goodness, so I could show them how rich and big and bountiful my grace is and my mercy is. See, you're the only one that can change that. But what's going to happen? What's going to happen whenever we start speaking what God says? When we start speaking things that, God, you bring finances in here, and we're going to reach thousands and thousands because you bring finances in here. We're going to reach thousands and thousands because you bring people in that have a heart to see lost people saved and lives changed. God, we're going to see seats filled up. God, what's going to happen when we start talking this way? See, I'm not saying positive thinking, which it would be good if some of us could think positive for a little while. But I'm saying more than that. I'm saying confess what God says. And that's the whole thing. If you haven't been in kingdom school, if you haven't been in kingdom training school, like flight training school, and if you haven't taken the promises of God in this book, and you hadn't meditated on them, and you haven't thought about them, and you haven't just kept on thinking about them and kept on meditating on them until they became ingrained in you, and then after a while you began to believe that they were the truth, and then after a while you began to believe they'd work for you, and then after a while that's all you said was the goodness of God. Well, I'm not done, but I quit. That's what Jesus said. Jesus gave us a declaration that we could move any mountain in our life. In Mark 11, he said, I say to you that whoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says will come to pass, he will have whatever he or she says. Well, I don't know. You say, well, that's awful silly, Hank, and that's awful. But folks, if anybody's going to see Jesus, where are they going to see him at? I promise he's not going to get elected for president. Well, I'm hung up on that. It's all I could do to keep from talking about that mess, but I'm not going to talk about it. Because I'm going to talk about the kingdom and God's goodness. And what better time for God to come in the lives of His children and prove Himself strong? What better time than a time when all the world is going to pieces? Chaos is everywhere. But God comes into His land of Goshen, His land of people, His hearts of people, and He raises them up and He does mighty, powerful things in their life. And the ones out here that don't know Jesus yet say, I want Jesus. Everybody say something with me. I got to stop because I could just go right on into another sermon right now. And we're not going to quit 8 times today. We're going to quit right now. But everybody say, Holy Spirit, help me know what I just heard. And I say that too, Lord. Help us know what you're telling us. Help us know what you're saying to us. Words. How many think it'd be a pretty good idea for us to just to begin to watch our words and just tell you what you do? This isn't a hard, complicated thing. It's just your glass is full of dirty water. Okay? Everybody hold your glass up. Your glass is full of dirty water. You just need to start pouring the clean water in there. And you just start needing to pour the clean word and the promises of God into your heart, into your spirit. Because out of your innermost being will come those rivers of living water, not death water. Living water. And you just keep pouring it in and pouring it in and pouring it in and pouring it in. And pretty soon you're holding a glass of clean water. Woo! Glory to God. The power of confession. We have a power. When we get the word, it doesn't work when we try to say it from here. But when we meditate on it and we stay in that flight school, in that kingdom school, and it gets ingrained in us and gets in our heart. And then when we speak, there's a power comes out of us, just like came out of Jesus. So what do you do? Well, just start. Just start. Just say, you know, Lord, I'm going to start watching my words and start putting some new stuff in your heart. Start putting His promises in your heart. If you need some healing in your body, just start putting healing scriptures in there and saying them and saying them. They'll push that sickness right out of your body. They'll push that poverty right out of your body. Oh, gotta stop. Well, I need to work on my words. How about you? I'm going to. How about you? You know, the most important words that you could ever say or Jesus, come into my heart. I want to live for you. And if you've never said that, if you're here today and you don't know that if you died right now, you'd go be with God forever, it's easy to know it for sure. You just say, Jesus, come into my heart and save me. I give you my life. I want to live for you. I need you to help me. Huh? And even if you are saved, I think some of us here, we just need to say, Jesus, come into our heart. Fill us with your Spirit. We don't want all this stuff in our life anymore. We don't want to be this way anymore, God. We want to be walking and talking and proclaiming the good news. And Jesus, you're the good news. It won't change all at once, but you got to start. Everybody stand. How many would say, I want to start. I'm going to start today. I'm going to start. That's all you have to do. Just tell God, I'm going to start. And he'll take care of the rest. If you need to, we're going to sing one song here. And if you need to come, maybe you just need to come and talk to God by yourself. If you do and somebody comes to pray with you, just say, hey, I'm just talking to God, and they'll leave you alone. If you need somebody to pray with you, we'd love to pray with you. If you're here and you don't know that you're saved, come down here. We want to pray that the words that I just said with you, because we want you to know for sure. And if you've never been baptized, or God's been dealing with you about getting baptized again, we got somebody today that'll baptize you. So whatever you need, we're going to sing a song here, and you come. Come, whatever you need.